Entertainment, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week in your home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hiya, gang. This is Ken Niles bringing on another jam-packed jamboree known as Command Performance. 30 minutes loaded to the hilt with the kind of stuff you asked for in those letters to Old Command, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And your hostess for tonight's party is really an eye-filling female. She's star of the MGM picture, The Bride. She's a charming filly, the partner. It's that luscious Ava Gardner. Here she is.
And good evening, guys and gals, and Ken Niles. There was an awfully sweet introduction you constructed for me. When it comes to words, you're an architect. Ken, you're a builder.
Oh, it's nothing, Ava. I just love your little pre-war construction. But, Ava, say, how about getting me a job in your new movie, huh?
I don't know, Ken. The Bride takes place on a romantic South Sea island. I'm alone on the island, except for my boyfriend.
Well, Ava, if you need a handsome, rugged, romantic hero, I'm your man.
My boyfriend treats me awful mean, but I love him for it.
I'm your man.
I take him in my arms and hold him close, and I smother him with warm, luscious, clean kisses.
I'm your man.
And then a bunch of gangsters come to the island. They beat up my boyfriend and shoot him full of holes.
Go for Philip Morris! No, Ava, I think I'll let Robert Taylor keep the part.
It's sweet of you, Ken. The boy really needs the work. But now on to the command performance business.
Now here comes one of our very favorite people. He's tops with all the gang, and that includes PFC Stover, Seaman First Class Henry Finberg, Corporal Joe C.Q. Lawrence, and a host of others. It's that man of melody, the one and only Herb Jeffries.
All his fans, and especially in honor of our friends of the 53rd Fighter Squadron down in the Panama Canal Zone, Herb Jeffries sings Estrellita.
Estrellita, little star in heaven, please shine your silvery light upon my love tonight. Since you're gone, there is no dawn, no moon above, from a weeping sky as I recall our love. Remember we kissed 'neath an old wishing well. Our secrets you know, but you never tell. Little star, if other arms caress my own, when my heart and I will sing the strain of love's refrain. If other arms caress my own, then my heart and I will sing the strain of love.
Marvelous, Herb.
Okay. Well, now, don't look here, fellas. Don't worry now. Herb's going to be back soon with an encore.
And right now, it's time to present some cultural show. So we'd like to bring on a noted author. He's written top radio programs like the Bob Hope, Red Skelton, and Jack Carson show. And now he's making his mark as a performer. Ken, how about a gracious welcome to our guest?
Okay, Ava. Friends, into each life a little rain must fall. And here he is, Jack Douglas. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go any further. I want to say that I'm very happy to be here in California. I think it's terrific. It's so healthy, and the climate is so wonderful. Only last week, I planted a little orange tree, and already it's dead.
Well, Jack, it's good to see you again. How's your family these days?
Well, my family's fine, Ken. My uncle's been working with Jimmy Fiddler. They've just invented a new kind of arid.
A new kind of arid? From perspiration?
Yes, but there's only one trouble with it.
What's that?
The top of your head gets wet. I like that, personally.
I like that. That's good.
Well, and now I'd like to sing a little song. It's a very, very sad song.
Oh, a sad song?
Yes, it's called I Was Seated One Day at My Hammond Organ, But Nobody Plugged Me In.
Well, Jack, that doesn't sound like quite the type of thing we're used to on this program. Wouldn't it be better if you gave us one of your famous lectures instead?
Well, all right, Ken. I'd be glad to give a lecture, I guess. Friends, do you realize that there are more babies born than any other kind of children? And do you realize that every fifth baby born in this world is Chinese? This might come as quite a surprise sometimes, especially if the parents are Yugoslavian. Another very uninteresting fact is that there are more girl babies born than boy babies born, which sounds like fun if you're a boy baby. But our subject for tonight's discussion is twins. Twins come as quite a surprise sometimes, especially if the twins are Yugoslavian and the parents are Chinese. The particular twins I had in mind were named Jones, Henry and Marvin Jones. And these two twins were as different as day and night. Henry was always a ball of fire.
I'm Henry Jones. I have a brain.
Well, let's get on with our story. Well, Marvin Jones was different, though. Marvin, his twin, was more like...
I'm the Marvin Jones.
The Jones twins were born on July 17, 1892, in a prefabricated log cabin. Henry Jones was delivered by the doctor, and Marvin Jones, the unexpected, was born 15 minutes later and was delivered by a man who had come to take the piano back. And that was how it started. Henry was always the lucky one, and Marvin the unfortunate one. The years go by, and we come to high school graduation. Henry was the valedictorian.
Parents, teachers, and friends, we who are about to graduate salute you. We of the graduating class of 1913 realize that we are going forth into a world full of evils and pitfalls and travails and girls. We will keep strong. We will keep faith and do our best to make you proud of us. And proud to say that we are graduates of this noble institution, the John Dillinger High School.
Twin brother Marvin also made a speech that day.
The little Bo Peep has lost her,
sheep.
Little Bo Poop has lost her, little Bo Poop has lost her,
Shoop.
Oh, yeah. Little Bo
Poor unfortunate Marvin. Well, more years passed, and Henry the Ball of Fire was now president of General Motors, Standard Oil, United States Steel. Marvin, the unfortunate, also got a job as a lighthouse keeper. They told Marvin to watch the light. He did, but it almost killed him. It took 3 months to unscrew his head. Meanwhile, Henry had fallen in love with a beautiful singer named Smorgasbord.
Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. tie tonight. It's the ball of fire, Mr. Henry Jones. Henry Jones is president of General Motors, Standard Oil, and United States Steel. What do you say, Mr. Jones?
Room of wine for everybody, will you marry me?
Well, sure. I mean, but we...
It could have been a laugh there. You know that, don't you? We'd have waited. Well, so they got married, and they went to Niagara Falls on their honeymoon. For a wedding present, he gave her a cobbler's bench. And for a wedding present, she gave Henry a cobbler's bench. So they spent their honeymoon making shoes. Cobbler's bench. That's an old cobbler's bench. It'll go great in New England if I ever get there. Well, let's get back to the unfortunate twin brother, Marvin. Marvin fell in love, too, with Phil Spitali's all-girl orchestra. One at a time, of course. First, he went out with Gladys and her magic saxophone. Then he went out with Mabel and her magic cornet. And then Imogene and her magic trombone. But he had the most fun when he went out with Gertrude and her magic... But Gertrude and her magic soon gave Marvin the brush, so he started to go out with Gertrude's sister, who was a midget. Marvin figured that half a was better than no at all. Good night.
Marvelous drama, Jack, enough to make tears come to the eyes of any actor. Friends, lots of you passing through Los Angeles on your way to those ever-loving islands saw the famous show Ken Murray's Blackout, and you were captivated by a good-looking young man of 11 who did a magnificent job at the Steinway. He might look kind of lost sitting at the great big piano, but he certainly knows where he's going when he gets to work. Gang, let's welcome Devon Pershing. You're headed for the top.
You can say that again, Ava. Who's next, Ava?
Another super talented fellow, King. A fresh young man who's rapidly building a big following for himself on the CBS program. You loved him on his previous visit to our show, so here he is once more, Steve Allen.
Thank you very much, Ava. I really appreciate those kind words. You're very nice. Ava Olveen, you are a brick.
Is that the way I sound?
Oh, that's the way you're built. Yeah. You know, I never saw such a wonderful skin full of women. What are you wearing?
It's taboo, the jungle.
Like Sabu, the elephant boy. Enough of that, Ava. Ava, I was invited here tonight to talk about the future of radio.
And what's that?
How to get laughs. But besides that, Ava, the problem is what to do on the Google adventure shows after, say, a couple of hundred years go by. You see, in those days, they're so murderous now, they'll have to be downright startling. They have weird new weapons with which to have at each other, you know?
Well, how do you think those adventure programs would sound?
Well, my guess, Ava, is that in the year 2100, they'll have to sound something like this.
Attention, boys and girls! Stand by for action, because here comes your favorite radio daredevil, Captain Steve Allen, the Atomic Ace!
You know, we lose more sound effects men that way.
Hiya, kids! We're taking you on a trip to adventure! Are you ready? We're going on the road! We're going on the road to breathless adventure! You want to go?
Go shove your head!
He's done. Are you ready, gang?
Your mother wears army shoes.
Are there any more comments? Well, then let's go. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Ken. Say, gang. Gang. Say, gang, have you tried the atomic jet-propelled breakfast food? Yeah. Gang, as your family doctor will tell you, blah, blah is made of a tasty blend of vitamin-enriched sawdust, homogenized breadcrumbs, and tender, crisp, golden roasted garter belts.
Doesn't that sound good?
Try it tomorrow with strawberries and cream, and remember, one box of strawberries and one pint of cream to one flake of blah. Remember, too, kids. Remember that the box that blah comes in is made of blah, too. Why, our motto is no taste, but no waste. And now, Ken. Ken, boy, tell the kiddies about those premiums in every box of blah.
Gang, in each and every box of our product, you'll find a genuine cardboard model. Lots of these models. Try a big bowl full of them with strawberries and cream. And now for the adventures of Steve Allen, the Atomic Ace.
Yesterday, you'll remember, he left me starving to death and hanging by one toenail to the edge of the cliff overlooking the river of sulfuric acid on the planet Cucamonga. And today I'm beginning to weaken. But meanwhile, Sally and Professor Clotto trying to tell Jim and Inspector Kniddlehopper that Killer Kodak is really inciting the Wahine tribesmen to burn the bridge while the kangaroo men are hopping to the rescue on their pogo sticks. Yesterday, you'll remember, poor Pogo was really stuck, wasn't it? Now, in the meantime, lava has begun to pour from the mouth of Totohuga, the mysterious mountain of mines where slaves dig for ossified creatures and work their lives away. Dig for ossified teachers and they work their lives away. Can you wait for the snapper, please? These poor slaves are here digging. Now, will you give them a chance? Don't let the lady listen to the show at all. The mysterious mountain of mines where slaves dig for ossified teachers and work their lives away in the peach pits. Now! And so it seems. Supermen will intercept the Skudniak's message and tear Mabel to pieces. Is that all clear?
Well, now explain it to me, will you?
As today's story opens, Captain Steve is hanging with Sally, hanging from a branch by their toenails. 5,000 feet below them are the sharp rocks of the riverbed.
How much longer do you think this branch will hold us up, Captain Steve?
I don't know, Sally. Oh.
Steve, the branch is weakening.
Yes, it's going to break off. It'll break any second now.
Oh, look out!
Oh! Lucky thing we had our flying belts on. Now what?
Steve, behind us. It's a sunken pit full of electronic man-eating monsters.
Oh, get you close to the edge of the pit, Sally. Those devils will tear you to ribbons.
I know, Steve, but... Steve, look out. The ground is giving way. We're falling into the pit.
And now... Now for another word from our sponsor. Kiddies, kiddies, tell Mother to go right down to the grocer's and buy you a big box of milk. If she objects, crack open her piggy bank and buy one anyway. Show the old bat you're independent.
Good night, Mother.
Marvelous, Steve. And now, gang, here's the wonderful Herb Jeffries, ready with a copy of You Gave Me Everything But Love.
You gave me the moon, the stars, the mountain, and the sky. But still I sit and cry. Truthfully, you gave me everything but love. You gave me the breeze, the tree, the song the birdies sing, the winter and the spring. Oh, Willie Green, you gave me everything but love. You put a show on right from the start. You let me go on playing a part of a little fool and heart. You gave me the news. What did you have to lose? And left me with the blues. Willingly, you gave me everything but love. Did you have to lose, then left me with the blues? Willingly, you gave me everything but love. The gang
at the Tilton General Hospital, Fort Dix. It was the finest way I know of bringing another session to a close. We were really loaded tonight, what with...
Ava Gardner, Devon Pershing, Herb Jeffries, Jack Douglas, Steve Allen...
And acting by Buddy Gray, Dink Trout, and June Foret. Gang, we'd like to thank you for all your patience when we find your requests hard to fill. And we'd like to thank you for the wonderful letters you write. Letters like the one from Staff Sergeant Arthur Joseph.
That's right, Ava. Speaking for himself and his buddies, the sergeant said, all the money in the world, all the praises usually heaped upon the leading actors, actresses, technicians of the screen, radio, and stage, could not express the gratitude of this group of Air Force men for the many enjoyable hours. It's gratifying to have these great artists spend their time to entertain men all over the world when they should be getting some well-earned rest.
He says, but this could go on and on forever, so I'll close with four words. Thanks, thanks for everything. Truly, Sergeant, a letter like yours gives our loyal command performance artists a tremendous lift. So on behalf of all of them, I'd like to say to you and to all our other grand listeners, wherever you may be, thanks, thanks for everything, and good night.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.